Deuteronomy chapter 12. These are the statutes and ordinances which you shall observe to do in the land which Yahweh, God of your fathers, has given you to possess all the days that you live on the earth. You must surely destroy all the places in which the nations that you shall dispossess serve their gods, on the high mountains, on the hills, and under every green tree. You must break down their altars, dash in pieces their pillars, burn their asherim with fire, cut down the engraved images of their gods, and destroy their names out of that place. Well, Israel didn't do that, and so they did worship those gods. The idea was, just get rid of anything that even reminds you of idol worship. And that is true for us today, because although we don't have physical idols, there are plenty of idols in this world that take the place of the physical idols. An obsession with this or that, with your career, with getting through your exams, with doing well at school, with getting wealthy, with getting this woman or that woman, with getting that flash car, with getting all this, that and the other, that holiday home or whatever it might be. These things can all become our idols. And we are to just get rid of them totally. And I think that affects, therefore, what you look at on screens. It affects how you use your life. Because if you keep looking at these things, you will want them. It is as simple as that. It was no good saying, well, I don't worship these particular gods, but I'm not going to cut down their pillars and burn them with fire. After all, some of them were made from quite expensive metals. No, there was to be a total destruction of these things. You remember what Moses did to the golden calf? He ground it into powder and threw it into the water, so it absolutely did not exist. And they were to destroy their names out of that place. Well, unfortunately, when you look at the list of names of the towns that you get, particularly in the book of Joshua and Judges, you see that often they didn't change them. The little phrase Baal continues to be used, when they should just not have used that word at all. Just rename it. Rename that town. Rename that area. Don't even have these names on your lips. This is therefore a call to a holy life, a life that is not taking these things even onto our lips. As Paul says, I think with his eye on this kind of thing, he talks about all the bad things the Gentiles do, and he says, let these things not even be named among you. Don't even talk about them, don't even joke about them. But to the place which Yahweh your God shall choose, out of all your tribes to put his name there, to his dwelling place you shall seek, and bring your burnt offerings, your tithes, your freewill offerings. There you shall eat before Yahweh your God, and you shall rejoice in all that you put your hand to. So sacrifice is often connected with joy. They were to bring their sacrifices and give them to God and rejoice. So the only true joy is actually not through building up for yourself, but in giving, in sacrificing. And that's why the Lord Jesus says that Paul says that God loves a cheerful giver. He loves it to see that when somebody gives, not grudgingly, thinking, oh, I better give because everybody else is sort of donating to this good cause, but when somebody gives and rejoices that they are now minus, that I have given that money I saved, I have given this or that that I could have had for myself, and rejoicing in it. God loves that. You shall not do all the things that we do here this day, that's in the wilderness, every man whatever is right in his own eyes. But when you go over the Jordan and dwell in the land which Yahweh causes you to inherit, then to the place which Yahweh shall choose to cause his name to dwell there, you must bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and you shall rejoice before Yahweh your God. So then, again, the connection between joy and sacrifice. Be careful not to offer your burnt offerings in any place that you see, but in the place which Yahweh shall choose in one of your tribes, there you shall offer your burnt offerings. Notwithstanding, you may kill and eat flesh within all your gates, that's within all your towns, as you wish, according to the blessing of Yahweh your God, which he has given you. Only you must not eat the blood, pour it out on the earth as water. That's because the blood represented the life, and they were to continually remind themselves of this. Whenever they prepared meat, they killed an animal for meat, pour the blood out, representing that life is to be given to God. And that is a principle which we have got to live by, that life is not mine, it is God's. I, for myself, deserve to die. The wages of sin is death. But he's given me life, and I pour that out to him. Now, just think how that might affect your decision-making about your career, about who you marry, about the kind of job you do, about how you spend your money, about what sort of house you live in, what sort of car you have, what sort of gadgets you buy, what sort of holidays you have, if any. Life is to be given to God. Our life is not ours, but is his. And in fact, nothing material that we have is ours either. It's all his, and if you give it to God, you only give to him what is his own anyway. You may not eat within your gates the tithe of your grain or new wine or oil or firstborn of your herd, but you must eat them before Yahweh in the place which Yahweh shall choose. So the idea was that they were to go and appear regularly before God. In fact, all their males were to come 3 times in a year before Yahweh, which would imply that it wasn't wise to live far away from the sanctuary. The fact that two and a half tribes wanted to live east of Jordan, when the Jordan River was hard to cross sometimes, and when there was no bridge built, is therefore an example of being unwise, going away from the things of God, the things of the sanctuary, because you want to have, as you perceive it, a better life, because those tribes thought there was good pasture land there. And so what does that translate out as? Maybe saying, well, I'm going to get a high-paying job or go to a really good university, far away from your church, far away from anyone who believes as you do. Putting the things of the flesh before those of God. And in the end, God will bless you if you choose rightly. Take it from me. That is what will happen. Take it from anybody with real longer-term life experience in the Lord. When Yahweh your God enlarges your border, as he has promised you, see, he'd promised them the land from the Mediterranean right over to the river Euphrates. But for the moment, he was settling them really just in Canaan. A much smaller part, but his intention was to enlarge their border. And when you say in that time, I want to eat meat, because your soul desires to eat meat, you may eat meat. But if the place which Yahweh shall choose to put his name is far from you, then kill of your herd and of your flock, and eat within your gates. Only be sure that you don't eat the blood, for the blood is the life. You shall not eat the life with the flesh, but pour it out on the earth as water. Only your holy things, which you have, and the things you have vowed, you must take and go to the place which Yahweh shall choose. And you shall offer your burnt offerings on the altar of Yahweh your God, that is, in the special sanctuary. The blood must be poured out on the altar, and you will eat the flesh. When Yahweh your God cuts off the nations from before you, where you go in to dispossess them, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, how do these nations serve their gods? I will do likewise. It's all the time through Deuteronomy, Moses is saying, be careful that you don't mess up spiritually. Be careful, take heed, watch your heart, lest you fall away. The proud person would say, well, I'm not going to fall away. What are you on about? But no, the humble person will say, yes, I recognize I might. And it's like in the parable of the wise and foolish girls. The foolish girls didn't take any extra oil for their lamp. They assumed, oh, my lamp won't go out. I've got enough oil. And the wise girls, well, their lamps did go out, and they fell asleep, which you could say they shouldn't have done, but they had taken extra oil because they recognized that they might run out. And so it is here, take heed to yourself, you are likely to enter temptation. Be strong, recognize your humanity.